Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Tuesday, November 12th, and joining me on today's show is good friend Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider. And Chris, we made it to the bye week, but boy, oh boy, a lot of changes have to happen for this Giant team if they are to salvage anything left of the season.
Yeah, but no changes are coming with the coaching staff. Shermer said that today in the conference call. So he's going to stick with what he has, and they're going to keep working. You know, personnel-wise, we'll see in a couple weeks when they play the Bears. Shermer's going to make some changes, you know, with a few guys, something he really hasn't done all year. But you talk about barely getting to the bye week, right, Pat? I mean, It feels like a beaten dog right now, man. That Jet loss yesterday was horrific, to say the least. Everybody from John Mara down, feels like a gut shot, right? You're playing bad going into the game, and then boom, you lose to the Jets, who are playing worse coming into the game. So I don't know where they're at, Patty. You know, they're going to keep working, and you know, let's see if they improve these last six games, because in my opinion, Sherman's not going to survive yesterday's game unless there's a big turnaround the last six games. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I got to admit, I was surprised that there were no, at least as we record this, there were no plans to change the coaching staff. Now, just as a disclaimer to those listening, Chris and I are recording this actually on Monday afternoon. The show was airing on Tuesday. Now, at the time when Shermer spoke to the media on a conference call, it is possible that he had met with John Mara and Steve Tisch and Dave Gettleman and whoever else, you know, would be involved in these decisions. But with this said, you know, I'm surprised. I mean, he keeps talking about they have to play better. They have to coach better. They've been saying this since day one, Chris.
Yes.
I mean, at some point you got to say, okay, stop talking and start doing. And it's like, what are you doing to make this happen? I just don't get it. Help me out here.
Yeah, well, I wish I could, Pat, but the record speaks for itself now. Okay. 2 years, 5-11 last year. They're lucky they hit five wins this year. Shermer's 17-42, I believe, as a head coach in the NFL. That speaks for itself. You know, we're going to keep working and we're close and we see good things. It just doesn't fly anymore, Pat. You know, this is 10 games in, a year two under Shermer, and it's the same mistakes over and over. They're losing every week. And nobody wants to hear it. You don't want to hear it, Pat. I don't want to hear it. And sure as hell, the fan base don't want to hear it anymore. It's time to start putting some W's on the board. Nobody cares about the other stuff anymore, Pat Shermer. All right? Nobody wants to hear it anymore. What's going on here is a low point, and this other stuff is just window dressing. But the record speaks for itself, Pat. That's the bottom line. The record speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does, Chris. And be honest with me. Are you surprised, or were you surprised that when Shermer said no staff changes? And I mean, I get it. You know, it there's only so much you can do. And, you know, I guess I look at it and I say, okay, well, there's only so many moves he could make if he wanted to. But are you surprised still that, you know, he seems willing to just keep pushing forward? It to me, it's like almost like, you know not to put your hand on a hot stove, but you keep doing it in the hopes that that hot stove isn't going to be hot, and yet you right. keep getting burned, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately for Shermer, it's been hot every time he's touched it, you know?
Yeah.
yeah, I'm a little surprised, you know? I thought maybe offensive line coach Hal Hunter could be in trouble. I thought maybe even secondary coach Withers could be in trouble. The secondary hasn't been good all year, hasn't progressed at all, Pat. Matter of fact, they're getting worse. I mean, even the Jets almost had 200-yard receivers on them yesterday. Mm-hmm. The Jets can't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And Demaryius Thomas, who hasn't had a good game in about a year and a half, almost had 100 yards yesterday. Big chunks all over the secondary as usual. Big plays all over on them. That's what I meant to say. Big chunk plays on the secondary as usual. I thought maybe Withers might be trouble. He survived. Well, as of right now, offensive line has regressed. Hasn't been good in 2 years. It was started off pretty good this year, but now they've gone down, and now they got injuries. I thought Hal Hunter might be a little bit of trouble, but I was wrong, Pat. Sherman's going to move forward with what he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised as well. So Chris, I mean, you've seen the games, you've Oof. Been around, where do they go from here? I mean, is it the kid, you know, playing the kids, you know, you're going to have more growing pains, you know, the coaching staff just hasn't been able to optimize stuff. I mean, let's start actually on one side of the ball. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
I mean, the run blocking yesterday, on Sunday. I mean, what the heck is going on? 1 yard for Saquon Barkley on 13 carries. What's happening here?
They're getting overpowered. They're getting outplayed. They're getting dominated. The Jets, I don't know if you looked at the game again, Pat, yet, but the Jets dominated the Giants' offensive line yesterday. Dominated them. It was embarrassing. Saquon, listen, we all know Saquon's not 100%, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's out there. So that means he has to produce. Nobody cares about, you know, you have a high ankle still. And he understands that, Saquon. He's out there. He's not complaining about it. He had no chance yesterday, Pat. Mm-hmm. Now, does Sherman try to get him outside a little bit? Does he try some pitches? Does he try to go off the edges? Maybe once, twice, I don't know. He kept trying to run up the middle. And it wasn't there. McClendon, Basham, the Nathan Shepard guy, they were dominating up front, man. Pulley was getting pushed back. Even Will Hernandez at times, they were getting pushed back. He had nowhere to go, Saquon. It was embarrassing. Look at the tape again. It was embarrassing the way they got manhandled up front. And listen, I know Gates was his first start. I know they had to come in with Eric Smith and all that. Nobody wants to hear that, Pat. Okay, this is what the general manager signs depth guys for, to come in and hold the fort. Okay? They didn't. They got dominated up front. We're not even going to get into Eric Smith in a passing game yet. We're just talking about the run blocking right now. Right. And that's why so many times yesterday, Pat, Saquon got the ball, and it seemed like he was hit immediately.
Yeah, let me give you a stat, Chris. This from Field Yates.
Yeah,
Saquon
yeah.
was hit mm-hmm. in the backfield on 11 of his 13 carries. That's
embarrassing.
Yeah.
You could get a high school offensive line and do better than that. You could call Rich Seibert over here and watch on Hills by me, and they could do better than that. Are you kidding me? They were thoroughly dominated by a defensive line that shouldn't have dominated them. Now, the Jets are pretty good against the run. But they look like the steel curtain yesterday up front.
Mm-hmm.
Inexcusable, Patty. Inexcusable. It really
yeah.
is. Saquon had no chance yesterday. None. He's not 100%. But give the kid a shot too, man. You know, give the kid a shot. He had nowhere to run. It was ridiculous. Really ridiculous.
But what do you see, though, as the biggest problem here with this line? Because, you know, on paper, the talent looks better than it was last year. You know, you expect Will Hernandez to take a big step forward. You know, Zeitler was the top rated guard last year, according to Pro Football Focus. You know, Remmers was supposed to be an answer. Now, I know he didn't play yesterday. I know they also lost Solder halfway through the game. But what do you think is, you know, the issue here with this offensive line? Why haven't they taken this step forward?
Because they're just not playing that well. I mean, listen, Hernandez and Zeitler have been pretty good this year. Yesterday, they just didn't play well. Overall, they've been pretty decent. The center, Halepiel, has just been okay all year. And Solder and Remmers haven't, I'm talking about the whole year now, haven't run blocked well. They just haven't run blocked well, Pat. You need the five guys, you know, and they just haven't done it on a consistent basis. And it showed. Yesterday, it was just alarming. Yesterday, it was just, they were overpowered. You know, they've regressed from, I guess, about the sixth game on. What are we now? Game 10? I guess about the sixth game on, these guys have regressed. They haven't run block really well all year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I wish I had an answer for you. But guys, like, you know, up front, need to run block better. And they just haven't, Pat. They just haven't. You know?
No, they.
There's no magic answer. You just got to play better.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Chris, let's take our first break. Giant fans, will be right back after this. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked on Giants, segment two. Patricia Traina here with you, joined by my good friend Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider. And we are trying our best to make sense out of where the Giants go from here. I mean, not a whole lot of options. We talked a little bit about the offensive side of the ball. Chris, let's talk about the defense, because this, I think you and I are both fully on the same page when it comes to this. No progress of worth speaking. I mean, maybe a little bit, I should say, up front with the defensive front. I thought they played, you know, well. Yeah, they shut down Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
But the same issues are happening in the back end of the defense. Guys are missing tackles. Guys aren't getting off blocks. There's communication breakdowns. What the heck is going on? I mean, is it in the classroom, do you think? Is it just guys not paying attention? What do you think are the biggest contributors to this?
Attention to detail, a little communication, and it's just not that good. Okay. Baker hasn't been good, Pat. He's just been okay. He's had a lot of rough moments, man. Okay. The back end, I mean, Bethea, you know, how many times have you seen him slow getting over to a guy? Happened again yesterday. Okay. Ogletree underneath can't cover anybody. All right, they're just not that good. They just give up these chunk yards at the worst times. No consistency at all. None whatsoever. They'll play four or five good plays and boom. I mean, it was play, you know, Jamison Crowder getting huge chunks yesterday. Demaryius Thomas getting huge. Baker getting beat left and right. Okay, Jackrabbit got beat on a big play yesterday. Then you got Bethea over there not getting over. I mean, you know, it's just the same story week after week. Baker has to improve. He's a number one pick, and he's just been okay at best, right, Pat? I mean, he's struggling. This kid is struggling. And then when you get to, and you turn around and you get an answer from Baker, like, well, maybe I should get in the playbook more. I haven't been, you know, I need to understand things. That's alarming.
Yeah.
That's alarming. Mm-hmm. Jackrabbit hasn't been that bad. Don't get me wrong. He's tackling has been horrible. Okay. Grant Haley was horrific the whole year coverage-wise. Now they're trying to balance in kid. He's been slightly better, but they're just not good in the back end, Pat. They just can't cover anybody, man. You know, they just can't cover anybody. If they try zone, there's so much space. Receivers are finding the empty space. Boom. Wide open looks. If they go man, they get beat on big plays.
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer? You got to play better. Some scheme-wise with Betcha? Yeah, that would help, I guess, in a way. But it's not all Betcha, man. These guys just can't cover guys.
How much of it, though, I mean, to me, Chris, I look at this defense and I see them trying to go at level four when they haven't mastered level one. So how much do you think simplifying things might help this unit moving forward?
Well, he has simplified a lot since the beginning of the year, and they're still getting beat. You know, Betcha, listen, you could talk about him and what are we, a man? Are we zone? You know, he mixes it up, but Pat, you still got to execute out there, you know, and they just don't execute. He's tried different things, Betcha. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a lot to blame for this, but he's not the whole problem. You know, he's simplified. Listen, Baker was having problems. He simplified a lot of it. He simplified down what he's doing on defense, and they're still just cannot make plays and keep can't get off the field and third down, Pat. Forget about that, right? How many times you see him? Yesterday, the Jets had 3rd and 11, 3rd and 7, and they're converting balls and they're converting passes left and right.
Mm.
You know? So it's not all Betcha. It's the play. A lot of guys have to look in the mirror, Pat, and say, what am I doing? I have to improve here. I have to do this. You know, I have to do that, all that. You know? And it's just, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. There's no, Pat, if there was a magic answer, all right, they should go into a cover two more, or they should. Believe me, Betcha's tried everything. They just don't execute, Pat. And a lot of that is on Sherman. Don't get me wrong. Betcha, don't get me wrong. A lot of it is on the players, too, man. Just, I know everybody wants to blame the coaches right away. I get it. There's a frustration. But it's not just the coaches. You know, these guys just don't execute a lot of the times.
And that's just odd. I mean, so I think some of it just could be, you know, like in the case of Bethea, it's not a matter of him not wanting to. I think maybe physically it's just not there for him anymore. But, you know, you almost get the impression, and I'm probably way off on this. You tell me if you agree or disagree. But with Baker, I kind of get the impression with him sometimes that because he was a first round pick, he feels like, okay, I've made it, I've arrived. And yep. I just don't sense that, you know, it's like, yeah, you made it and you arrived, but you got to stay here, dude. You can't just rest on your laurels that you made it and arrived.
Yeah, he's gonna realize that he won't be in this league very long with this attitude. All right, Baker has the attitude of, I'm here, I'm a number one pick, and I'm not really worried about that much. Hey, listen, we're around them a lot in the locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's the attitude he has. Okay? He has a maturity issue. He needs to mature quick.
Yeah.
He better realize that in this league, you're not in college anymore, my friend. You're not walking around the campus and everybody's high-fiving you. You're my hero and all that crap. That doesn't fly in this league. Half your teammates, they got families. They got kids.
Mm-hmm.
They rely on these paychecks. They can't be in a losing squad to get released or whatever it might be. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when he said last week after the Dallas game, when he said about I think I need to get in the playbook more, that was alarming, Pat.
Yeah. Oh,
you're
yeah.
a rookie, man. By the way, you're not a rookie anymore 10 games in. After like 7 games, your teammates don't consider you a rookie anymore. They consider you like not a veteran, but they consider you not. The rookie status is out the window.
Right. Okay? You should know what you're doing. Exactly.
You got to know what the hell you're doing. You saved that crap for training camp or first few games. Oh, I had a communication. I need to do this. I have to. Game 7, game 8, game 9, the veterans look at you like, hey, you're here a long time since April. You better know what the hell you're doing out there. And he doesn't at times. And he's got to mature real quick, Pat. Oh, this is going to be a bust number one pick. The kid's got the tools. No question mm-hmm. about it. He's got the tools. But your tools, Pat, in this league, that's not – you can't just rely – this isn't college where you could just rely on your athletic ability, okay? This is the NFL. You need tools. You need study habits. You need details, technique, everything to survive in this league. And right now, he's lacking in a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a shame. And hopefully, you know, whether it's Jackrabbit, whether it's Bethea, somebody's got to get through to this kid. Because you're right, he has tools, he's got talent, and it's just alarming to see. And, you know, we're not there 24/7, so we can't speak to the, you know, what's going on. But we've seen some stuff that, you know, suffice to say is alarming with how that thing is set up.
Yeah, go ahead, Patty. You can say it. A lot of times we're in there, he's chilling on the couch, you know, playing on the phone. You know, he just has that like, okay, I'm here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you could say it. I'll say it for you. I know where you're going with it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, this is an organization that moved back in the first round to draft this young man, okay? They went to the 30th pick. Gettleman came out and said he's the best cover corner coming out and all that. You tell me, is he do you think he's I'm not saying give up on a kid. I'm just saying right now, do you think he's a 30th overall pick?
No.
No. Kid's struggling. The kid better get it quick because he's not going to last long in this league, man. There's no scholarships in this league, Pat.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, Chris, you know, just since we touched on it a little bit, I know this is a pet peeve of yours. It's a pet peeve of mine. You and I have talked about it. And that is the country club atmosphere that was in the locker room starting the season, you know, with the ping pong table, the cornhole, the couches and everything. And now all of a sudden, Shermer is going back on all this stuff. Not, you know, this starting after 9 games. Now we're after 10 games. A little too late, my friend.
I agree. Yeah. You know, I don't, you know, trying to crack, no more music, trying to crack the whip a little bit, telling, threatening jobs. Pat, that's over with, man. This season's done. Okay, too late for that. Should have did that back in week 3. Should have did that after the Buffalo game, right? When Buffalo came in and kicked the crap out of them. Should have did that after that game, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Week 10, before the Jets game, oh, we're threatening this. We're gonna, we got to crack down on this. That's too late for that. That culture should have been established last year. Forget about this year. Okay, so to me, it's too late. for all that, to me, it's a desperation signal from Shermer that he feels he might not make year three. And now he's going into that mode, DEFCON mode, like, you know, I'm going to threaten jobs, this and that. Meanwhile, Patty, prime example. I've been calling for this. You know this because you're with me all the time. How many times do I call for guys, if they're struggling, can't cover a guy, if they're getting beat left or right, get his butt out of there. I don't care who it is, right? You see what the Jets did yesterday? Slayton beats Nate Hasted for the touchdown. Golden Tate beats Nate Hasted for the touchdown. Greg Williams got him out of the game. Sat him down. Okay? Put a kid that just came off the IR who hasn't played in the NFL, put his butt in there. Point being, it's like, where's the accountability, Pat? Guys can get beat left and right, left, missed tackles up the, you know what? Who's getting toasted for touchdowns? And nobody gets taken out of a game.
Yeah. That's sorry, Pat. Needs to be changed. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Pat. That's not a good look. Accountability. Sorry. Agreed.
No, don't apologize. I'm with you on that one. Chris, let's take our final break, and then I've got one more thought I want to add on to this. So, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Peloton is offering a limited time off. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCK to get started. Hey, Giant fans. Now that it's football season, most days I'm so ridiculously busy that I barely have time to make myself a sandwich for lunch. Well, thanks to DoorDash, I no longer have to. When hunger calls, I simply open up my DoorDash app, select a restaurant whose food I'm craving, enter my order, and then get right back to work while the restaurant and DoorDash do the rest. Folks, I cannot tell you just how much of a time saver DoorDash really is. And I absolutely love that I can have whatever cuisine I happen to be craving delivered in a timely manner. I've also used the app to try out new restaurants around my city, and I've discovered quite a few new favorites. DoorDash is available in all 50 states and in Canada. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON at checkout. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and Chris Bisciano and I are we're bearing it all here, Chris. I'm telling you that the more we talk about this, I hope
the more worked up I'm getting.
I see that. I didn't mean to raise your blood pressure, but I just want to go back to one more thought on the locker room atmosphere that Shermer created. This is my take on it. Tell me if I'm off base on it. To me, it's almost like a college atmosphere. It's something you do when you reward a veteran team or a team that's winning. It's not something you do when you have primarily a young team and you're trying to teach them how to be professionals and how to win and how to do all the little things. Am I off base?
No, you're not. I'm old school like you a little bit, Patty. When you got a bunch of 1 and 2 year players and you're coming off a 5-11 season and the organization hasn't been they've left, 5 out of 6 years. 2016, please. Give me a break with that year. Okay. This has been basically a losing organization since 2011. Okay. So, and then Saquon's asking for the ping pong and okay, great. But when you get your butt kicked, you know, every week and you're losing every week, that's not a good look. I'm sorry. I don't like it. You know, I don't like it. They have their own lounge. I'm not saying this is why they're 2-8. I'm just saying it's the overall culture. To me, a little too lax. Okay, I'm with you on it. A lot of young kids here, and I understand, you know, every camaraderie, everybody's together and all that, but guess what? They're still losing and making the same mistakes every weekend. You know, so sometimes you got to set that, you know, like, get this crap out of the locker room. I mean, they got to get way more serious, you know. I guess that's what Shermer was trying to do last week. I don't know. You saw the result yesterday. Same mistakes. So Shermer's, I guess, and Betcher, he's just not getting through to some, you know, to some of these guys. I don't know. But when you make the same mistakes over and over, it's like, you know, and that culture, that lack stuff, to me, that should have never been, Pat. But I'm not the head coach of the Giants. Pat Shermer is, man. But I wouldn't have went for it.
No, no, I
And we actually saw it a little bit last year, Chris. If you remember, the card games started filtering in, and you know, we saw it. We saw it developing where guys were suddenly, you had, you know, four or five guys engaging in whatever it was they were playing, gin rummy or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not a good look. And you know, look, I get it that to a degree it builds camaraderie, but there are other ways you can build camaraderie that, you know, that don't involve taking you away from what you should be doing. You know, study film together, you know, talk shop. And if you want to get together and do something socially, maybe do it after hours. I don't know. But I just found that whole atmosphere to be alarming because, you know, you're right. I am old school like you are. And you know, I was concerned by that. Now, moving forward, Chris, you know, we talked a little bit about players potentially losing jobs. I mean, let's try and drill that down a little bit. What can the Giants do coming out of the bye week that they haven't been doing? What changes do you anticipate we'll see as far as lineup changes, maybe coaching philosophy changes and so forth?
Lineup changes. I mean, unless he goes with Beal over to Kid Baker, maybe that could be one. Okay. I guess, well, Ballantyne is the one change he did make after watching Haley get torched for 8 games. He finally made that change. Maybe you might see Love working his way in with Antoine Bethea. This is stuff I do expect, come off the bye week, Pat. You know, and some other things offensively, I mean, you're going to have to simplify. I mean, maybe some more quick hit. How about some two tight end packages with Penny and try to pound the ball a little bit with Saquon, you know, because you're struggling up front, right? So maybe you should go to two tight ends once in a while. They can't pull off a screen to save their life. They tried twice again. Yes, they can't do that. I don't, you know, it's impossible, it seems like, to this team to actually pull off a screen. Maybe some more quick hits. You're going to have to scale down some stuff offensively. So many times yesterday, Jones is in the pocket and guys are running long. Who's running a vertical? Who's running a long cross? You know, like they have all the time in the world. They were getting, you know, Jones was getting pounded yesterday. So the coaches got to evaluate what they're doing, and there's going to be a few changes, I'm sure. Check that, Pat. I'm not sure of that, but I anticipate a few. With Sherman, you never know.
Yeah.
I anticipate a few personnel changes or some guys working their way in the last 6 games, like a Love, like I said, like a Love and a Beal. You want to see what Beal is, right, Pat?
Sure.
I mean, Jenkins isn't going to be back here next year, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So
yeah, I would think so.
So make, you know, what we basically were told last week, Pat, before this game against the Jets, that we asked about Beal. What did the coaching staff tell us? Oh, he's going to work his way in on the outside with Baker, Jenkins, right? Whatever. He didn't play one snap yesterday until Janoris got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that? I thought you just said you're going to work.
Yeah.
Like, Pat, let me ask you this. Is Baker playing that? Is he playing a shutdown corner and you can't get Beal in there? It's mind-boggling. The personnel decisions that this team makes is mind-boggling. How the heck do you not get Beal in yesterday? I'm not counting when Janoris went out with a concussion. I'll talk about before this happened, the kid didn't get in one snap. Why? Yeah. Baker's playing that well?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You can't make this up. You can't make this up.
Yeah, it was weird. But, you know, Chris, the one change that, and I know it's not going to happen. I've been pounding the drum for it. Shermer's got to rethink this calling the plays. I think he's doing too much on game day. You know, he's trying to manage the sideline. He's trying to call the plays. He's trying to bring along Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. I know the guy, you know, he's an experienced play caller. He's been doing this a long time. That's just way too much for anybody to take on at once. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, well, it's a valid point. A lot of people feel like that. You know, he just takes, you know, being a play caller, you just can't focus on other things, right?
And we're seeing, you know, the in-game management issues.
Oh, God, it's so horrific. It really is. And you know what? You got to make snap decisions, whether or not to challenge, whether or not to call a timeout. Mm-hmm. And when you have the ball and you're thinking about 2 plays, because these guys always think about like 2 or 3 plays down the road, not just the next one, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot to handle, man. And Shermer just, he hasn't shown he could handle it.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sorry. He hasn't shown he can handle it. So we'll see. I mean, he didn't give any indication today, right, that he's thinking about that.
Well, I don't think he was asked that. And
he wasn't asked, but.
And he wasn't going to volunteer it. But you know what? Right. It's a little different. I think if you maybe, if you have an Eli Manning in there still as quarterback, now you don't have to worry about the rookie quarterback because you got somebody in there who knows what the heck he's doing. But mm-hmm. I don't know, Chris. I look at that, and I know Shurmur likes to call the plays. I yep. get that. It's his prerogative. But the other thing is like you said, in addition to being overwhelmed, which I perceive him to be, I don't know, he'll probably disagree with me, but who's overriding him when he makes a decision that doesn't make sense? You know, I go back to Tom Coughlin when he was here. Tom Coughlin leaned into the headset, whether it was the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the special teams coordinator. If he disagreed with something strongly, he would lean into that headset and say, no, guys, we're going to do this instead. Where's the checks and balances here? Who's going to stand up and tell Shurmur, what are you, crazy? Let's do this instead because this is going to fail. You know, he doesn't have that. And it just, to me, it needs to change.
Absolutely. He doesn't have that. It's his call, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way there for that. I mean, that's the job of a head coach, to talk to the coordinator. No, I want this. I want this, the offensive coordinator. No, we're going to run the ball here. You know what I mean? He has that. Yeah. Doesn't have that. I mean, I don't think he overrides. I can't be 100% sure on this, but I doubt he's overriding Betcher on his defensive calls.
Yeah.
Right? That ain't happening.
No, so, and I can't imagine it happening either.
So, I mean, I don't recall seeing one time, not one. Now, Betcher's on the sidelines. You know, right. I don't recall ever. I don't know about you, Pat. Maybe I missed it, but I don't recall one time when Shurmur went over to him and was in his ear, like basically tell, like Belichick does with McDaniels, you know, all the time, where he's in his ear talking about something. So something that he wants. Do you ever recall seeing that?
No.
Thank you. Enough said. Sorry.
And you can't do that when you have to work, because not only are you worrying about it when you're on offense, but you've got to be worrying about it. You know, okay, what happens if this scenario, you've got to be 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of where the game is. And I just don't think the setup is working as well as maybe Shurmur wanted it to. And if nothing else, Chris, I know they're not going to change coaches. I mean, Shurmur has said that. I mean, unless John Mara or Dave Gettleman forces it. But that is one thing I would definitely like to see change. I think has to change. At this point, what do you have to lose by making that change?
Yeah. You know, that would be a surprise if we come off the bye and all of a sudden Shula's calling the plays, right?
Yeah.
That would be a surprise. Listen, some guys can handle it, Pat, but, you know, Shurmur has proven that he can't.
Mm-hmm.
His game management, in-game calls are horrific. Even yesterday, I'm not even going to get on it too much. Even yesterday with the timeouts with 5 minutes left, 4-plus minutes left, it's just the going for two, chasing points when he shouldn't have been chasing points. You know, I mean, he just hasn't proven that he could handle everything, you know, calling the plays and handle everything else. It's tough, man. It's tough. And he hasn't proven he could do it. So maybe he needs one change. Maybe he needs to make is like, you know what? Let me give Mike Shula. He's done it before. Let me give Shula this play call. I'm going to oversee everything before I get fired. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I think Shurmur is stubborn. He's set in his ways.
Yeah, he's stubborn.
And that's going to do him in. Look, people sit here and they say, oh, you guys, you know, want this to happen and that to happen. Me personally, I don't want to see this team fail. I don't want to see Shurmur fail. I like Shurmur. You know, I think Shurmur's a good man with good intentions. Is he stubborn? Yes. Do I agree with everything he does? No. But, you know, at some point, it's okay to admit, hey, you know, I've been doing this the wrong way. I'm going to change and I'm going to make it better. You've got to look at yourself in the mirror and not just, you know, say, oh, you know, we all have to do this. The players have to do that. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. It starts with you. And I just don't sense that.
Right. I mean, even in the presses, very rarely do you ever hear him say, yeah, I need to coach better. This is on me. He never says that. Right? Once in a while, he'll be like, oh, yeah, we got to play. We got to coach. You know, it seems like, you know, I hate to say it, Pat, because he's a good dude, Shurmur, He's a good man.
Yeah.
But like you said, he just seems very stubborn where he doesn't think it's really his fault. You know?
And that's a problem.
I mean,
McAdoo was like that too, and we all saw what happened.
You know, you seen Andy Reid yesterday. They lose a tough game down in Tennessee. The first thing out of Andy Reid's mouth in the press was like, this is on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it, but at no time does Shermer ever do that with us. You never hear him saying, this is on me. I got to, once in a while, I'll be like, yeah, you know, we got to coach. We got to play better. You know? But it's like, he doesn't like really mean, like, I don't get it, man. It's like, he's very stubborn in his ways. And he just, to me, at times, he thinks like, oh, no, this is still the right way to do things, you know? And Pat, you're 17 and 42. Maybe it's not the right way to do things, my man. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Chris, final question for you.
Yeah.
In terms of the locker room, having been in there, having your pulse on it, I know I have my pulse on it. We might have different opinions. Do you feel like that locker room is starting to slip away?
No, I don't feel it slip it away. I sense a lot of frustration. I just sense that a couple of the veterans, Pat, I'm not going to name them. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. I'm not 100% happy with some of the rookies. They feel a couple of rookies maybe aren't working hard enough. I kind of got that signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe some guys aren't working as hard as they should be working. Now, on the field, these guys are still giving the effort, Pat. I don't see anybody checking out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe away from the field, some guys aren't working as hard as they should be. But as far as the locker room getting divided, no, I don't sense that yet. Do you sense that?
I don't sense that, but I'm just wondering if there's maybe frustration with the coaches and how they're going about stuff. That's pretty much what I meant.
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Well, yes. Yes, I do sense a couple of the veterans kind of wondering what's up with the coaching staff at times. Yes. I'm not going to name names, but after the Dallas game, early in the year against Arizona, a few guys kind of shrugged with some of the decision-making by the coaches. There's no question about it. But in fairness to them, they didn't come out and blame them. They weren't pointing fingers, but you could sense by talking to them that they weren't 100% crazy with some of the things they're doing. No question about that, Pat.
Yeah, and that's something, like I said, all the more reason why there has to be something that gives. Whether and I don't know, Chris, if necessarily, you know, playing the younger guys is going to be the answer, because especially if those younger guys aren't studying the way that, you know, the veterans would expect. I don't know what the answer is.
That's up to the veterans to whip them in shape, Pat.
I guess so. But, you know, listen, 2-8, the season is down the toilet. It looks like they're going to have another top 10 draft pick. I mean,
top
when
four,
does this stop?
The way this is going.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this. Something's got to give. Every year, I feel like I'm running out of ways to write about how they're losing and why they're losing. Just, I know it comes with the job, but goodness gracious.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. It's brutal. Really, and you look at it and say, man, is it going to get better in 2020? You know,
it's got to.
Well, I think the fan base is pretty. I think it's safe to say they are fed up, and there is no way they want to see Pat Shurmur back in 2020. Zero, right?
I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, I think
we'll
people. I think people want a new voice. And listen, you know, this has been an organization that's had stability in a head coaching position for a while, except for the last 4 years, right?
Yeah.
McAdoo gets it after a year and a half because he lost the locker room. That's why he lost, right? He gets it in December because Shermer hasn't lost the locker room, so he's not going to get fired. At the end of the year is a different story.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't want to hear about, you know, a lot of people like, oh, you can't do this every 2 years. Well, first of all, the Giants haven't done this every 2 years. This has just been the last 4 years. This has happened twice, maybe twice, right, with Shermer, right?
Right.
I mean, to me, okay, you want to get the right guy in. So, Pat, if they do go that way and fire Shermer and they get a guy in here that wins five out of the next 6 years, you think anybody's going to give a you-know-what that they switch coaches every 2 years, that four-year stretch? Are you kidding me?
No.
The job is to get the right guy in here, right?
Right.
And right now, all indications are very strong indications that they don't have the right guy, Pat.
Yeah.
So if the organization in January decides we don't have the right guy here, you got to make the move.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting if they make that decision, Chris. I mean, I personally think they are going to stick with him. I'm not so sure that he's out after this year, but
I think if they do stick with him, there will be some significant changes on the staff and just in the, how the way things are done. Remember, they talked about how he was an adult, you know, this was a job for an adult, yada, yada, yada. This is also a job for somebody who's willing to change his ways when things aren't working, which Shurmur has not done.
No, and you're right. If they do keep, you know, Shurmur in January, I don't think there's any question there's going to be significant changes on his staff. And if he and if he's going to tell John Mara that, no, I don't want to change anybody, John Mara's going to say, well, I'm changing you.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see.
Yeah, because John couldn't have been too happy. I mean, what we saw him yesterday, he was not happy with that loss. And we talked about that, I think, you and I in the press box, and we talked about it probably earlier on an earlier podcast. Not a good look. And just, you know, and they've got 2 weeks basically to sit and think about it. And you got to think that, you know, that's eating away at John Mara. He cannot be a happy camper today.
Right. Man, you talk about a time where they really wanted a Thursday night game. How about that? But they'd probably be begging for a Thursday night game right now just to get this bad taste out of their mouths, right? To play another game. Now they got to sit here. Now they got to sit here for 2 weeks after a Jet loss.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You talk about torture.
Yeah, seriously. Well, my friend, listen, this was very therapeutic. I thank you for coming on, as always, Giant fans.
Thank you for listening.
Stay tuned. We'll have much, much more on the Locked On Giants podcast. For Chris Pizziano, this is Patricia Traina, and we'll talk to you again soon.